Not ready? Too bad. Head back, face forward, and hold on like you mean it.
Hello and welcome to Review Time's theme podcast. This is a fortnightly show where we discuss all the ins and outs of attractions and parks from around the world. My name is Luke and we are suited up to the nines as it's the most glamorous podcast of the year. The red carpet is rolled out as it's time for the Theme Park Cast Awards, where we award the best and the worst of the year in several categories. But all good award shows need two hosts. So please welcome the man who was going to give out the award for best neckwear, but he couldn't, as it was a tie. It's my Review Time co-host, Dominic Lacey.
Oh, Luke, I'm still here.
Oh, well, it's you me. Are the queen of the red carpet, aren't you? That was what you were known for.
It's me, Joan Rivers.
Sorry, Luke. One second. So, shoo, Joan
Get
Rivers.
Get out of here. You're not meant to be here for another 49 episodes at least. If you don't know what we're talking about, you missed an event 2 weeks ago on the 100th episode. So make sure to go back and listen to it. Firstly, though, I want to give a quick shout-out to some of our patrons, including our newest patron, Gabrielle Knight, and long-term patrons Michael Brandt, Chris Clark, and Claire Fudge. For access to exclusive content, as well as every episode of our Adults Only Parks After Dark podcast, check it out at patreon.com/reviewtime.
There's always one name that stands out to me, and this week's honorary name that stands out to me is Claire Fudge.
That's Claire from Coaster Claire from Twitter. She's really nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't say that they're bad.
Oh, that's like
it's
the
just
good,
their name.
The good standout. That's one of those
that's
words
a good
that can,
standout.
Can kind of go either way.
Remember like, when we had like, I think it was essentially Max Power?
Yeah, Max Power.
I think
Power.
They're still around. Yeah.
Number one name of all the patrons. Max
reckon,
Power.
Look, if they're up for it, we should set up Max Power and Claire Fudge on a date so that they can have the ultimate name, Max Fudge.
That sounds like a sweet shop. Max Fudge. I love it.
Firstly, we have to ensure that they're single. If they're not, then we have to get the ghost of Joan Rivers set up some things
canon
for
in
us.
She's the one who can make anyone. She's like the matchmaker. Anyone can date anyone if Joan Rivers is in control.
What a bit. It's late in the year, folks.
Yeah,
this
is the last Review Times theme park cast of the year, which means it's going to be the last Review Times theme park cast for a little while. We always take January off, have a breather, have a refresher. Now that we're up to episode 102, we're feeling old. We need a break. We need a refresher. But we'll be back next year with some exciting new content. But before we jump into it, I want to give the quick rules.
I thought you were going to do shout-outs again. I was like, oh, yeah. No, we're looping.
We're stuck in a time loop, a T-Y-M-E loop. Hey,
brought it back around.
This could be a mess, this episode, but the rules
are... It already is, yeah. Luke. It already is.
We have five categories to give out. We have top and worst roller coaster, ride, park, thing we want to experience but didn't get the chance to yet, and best of 2022. The rules are... For everything apart from the thing we want to experience, they don't have to be new this year. They just have to be new to us this year. But for the thing we want to experience, that can be just something exciting from around the world we really want a chance to experience because we didn't get to do a ton of new parks this year. Most of our talk is going to be about our Singapore and Malaysia trip because that's the only trip we did this year. That's why we've combined both the Theme Park Cast Awards and the Theme Park Shame Awards into one, so we don't just end up repeating ourselves based on, you know, the episodes we did not too long ago.
Yeah. And the other thing as well, like, if you are a theme park and you're currently gathered around the radio and you're like, oh, it's the Theme Park Cast Awards and all that, don't take these too seriously. Because mostly it's just an opportunity for us to have a chat. We do eventually have plans to do, like, proper awards, but that would be around the time when we're actually able to experience more than we do, because we can't just be like, ah, the best ride of the year is Frozen Ever After at Hong Kong Disneyland, because we didn't go there. We can't say that. Like,
yeah, who knows what it would be, but we can only talk about what it is. Let's jump straight into it, into the deep. And we haven't compared notes with each other, so who knows? We may have the same best and worst for each category. We may have completely different best and
if it was
worst.
Parks After Dark, we might compare some other things.
Hey,
but,
you better tune in. Go subscribe on the Patreon.
Our bank accounts, because we're adults doing taxes. Oh. What did you think it was? Get your mind out of the gutter.
That's the real content we lock behind the paywall. Tax returns information.
So everyone, if you... bad bit, just keep going.
We're going to jump in the deep end, start with a big one. This is the roller coaster of the year. Now, do you feel we should start with the worst or we should start with the positive, start with the best?
How can we start with the positive?
Okay, starting with the best roller coaster of the year. Dom, what was your best roller coaster of the year?
My best roller coaster of 2023 out of all of the coasters that I experienced was The Mummy at Universal Singapore.
Clap, 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 because that's mine as well. Clap,
hey, clap. A double winner.
A first overlap of the event. And it's interesting. It makes sense for you. You haven't experienced The Mummy before. And I was really tossing up because I have experienced The Mummy. And this is just a slightly different version, but it's just such a good ride. I couldn't pick something else.
It's one of those like beautiful things where if you've been following Review Time for a while, you'll know that we're not huge roller coaster people. We're into roller coasters and we'll ride them, but we prefer a more themed and a more, I guess, curated experience. So despite right next to The Mummy being some of the other best highly regarded roller coasters in the world with the whatever they're called.
Cylon. Battlestar Galactica, yeah.
Yeah. Lots of people regard them as being fantastic, and they were fantastic, but The Mummy's themed, and it's got a really nice
queue. It tells a story. It's got one of the most impressive facades of all time that you walk into.
Fire effects. Yeah. Like, how can you go wrong when you've got fire effects? You
almost win by default if you have fire effects, I feel.
Exactly. Light, space mountain on fire, you win.
There you go, Disney. You can get it next to that Tokyo 2027 when they put their new space mountain in. If it has fire, there you go. We already know what's going to win 4 years' time, the Theme Park Cast Awards for Best Roller Coaster.
In 2027, we'll probably only be up to episode 135 by that point.
Joan will still be waiting for a cue for episode 150.
Oh, that's the only way that she's going to be able to be set free from her bounds of the Review Time studio.
Poor Joan.
But we might even introduce a third character at some point.
Oh, there already is. There's like five.
Oh, really? I guess we have all of the cast of
Poseidon's
Fury
needs to
now.
Write down on the Review Time wiki the full lore of who's real, who's somebody else, who isn't.
But the extensive lore of Review Time.
Yeah, the iceberg. How deep does the Review Time iceberg go? But every time there's a best, there has to be
a middle.
A worst. Well, there's a middle as well. If you only rode three rides, it'd be easier. But if you got on the same as me, which you did, we both rode 13 new coasters this year. Now, 13 is the amount of number where it kind of makes it easy to figure out a best. It's not so many, it's hard to compare between them. But it does kind of make it hard to figure out a worst, I found. So, kind of by default, my worst roller coaster that I rode this year is the Dragon's Apprentice at Legoland Malaysia. It's just it's a kid's ride. It was a lot rougher than it looks, if I'm remembering the correct one. The big one.
Baby, so are you. So this is not.
What is happening?
I regret that. Let's.
It's kind of the dragon, the regular dragon, is fun. It has that little dark ride scene at the start. And then the entire track was painted go away green, which was a choice. But the The Dragon's Apprentice, it's baby's first coaster.
Yeah.
But it also felt like baby's first brain-rattling coaster because it was way rougher than it should have been. It wasn't pleasant.
Can I be honest with you? I forgot that we went to Legoland, and I continue
hey, at least
to forget.
We know it's different. It's going to be a different one for your worst of the year.
Yeah, you know, mine, I guess, is a little bit different because it's not Legoland. Mine's from another Malaysian theme park. And this one came to me because we ended up going to this park from the recommendation of the man who can launch someone into the sun with his kick alone, Sean
Sandrock.
Some
throwbacks this episode, yeah.
I think that's like 10 episodes ago. Try and find an episode where about 45 minutes in we talk about the great theme park YouTuber Rumble. Good luck. It's a journey.
You'll need it, yeah.
But his recommendation was to go to Sunway Lagoon to ride the Lost City of Gold Scream Coaster.
Oh, iconic name. It could win Best Named Coaster of the Year.
And this was one of those coasters where it wasn't the worst in terms of like thrills or anything like that. But it was just aggressively mediocre.
Yeah.
Like, the theming was half done. Like, it had paint problems. It was falling apart. The operations were dreadful. It did that iconic thing where you come back into the station and it, like, goes, nyeh, nyeh, nyeh.
You have to, like, manually park it almost.
Yeah. it was just all around an average coaster. I'm trying to see if I can find some more like information on it.
I remember as well.
Database.
We first went to ride it, and the ride, the chain was down. The ride had a wait time, and we went to the station only to find the train on the maintenance track, and literally a maintenance guy just hitting the one train with a hammer, like just whacking it with a hammer. And that all the operators just kind of stared at us, didn't say anything, just stared at us until we went away. And then we came back later and it was posted as a 1 hour wait. We went up there. There was three people in the queue. The train was just sitting in the station. And for 10 minutes, everyone was just kind of standing around. And then all of a sudden, they just opened the gates and let us on.
This is a fairly iconic coaster. Looking into the history of it. It's like, it's not good. I'm not going to say that its history of it makes it good because that's not how these things work. But it was originally in Negloland, which is, I think, in
France. It's somewhere in Europe, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. And this was made by, yeah, it's in France, a European manufacturer. It looks like they haven't actually made one since the early 2000s.
I thought you were going to say, that's it. That's the last one they made. I could see why.
Well, it was relocated. So it was made by a manufacturer called Soke.
Yeah, that explains it, right? Soke.
it's more mediocre than that. And it's, yeah, that's all. That's all I found out about it.
Yeah,
it's been operating since
1994. It makes sense why it feels like it was literally just slapped on top of a building then, because it kind of was. It was relocated. They didn't design it for the space. If you haven't seen it, go watch a POV, because it's mostly a ride around a concrete, like, roof, which we think is on top of the worst scare attraction we've ever done. Go listen to the podcast if you want to hear more about that. But it's just bizarre. And this was the ride of the park, the way it was being presented. And it was not good. And I'm sure that park's probably going to come up again later in the episode.
I don't know.
Oh, no spoilers. But we'll go from roller.
So get the taste back out of my mouth. We've got to have a palate cleanser. Now it's time for best ride. Now, I did best roller coaster last time. So I think it's up for you
to give
us your best ride.
Now, best ride can't be a roller coaster because
No.
That doesn't count. Now, this one was actually quite difficult to me because it was.
Yeah.
We rode quite a number of good attractions this year, but there's
like
none.
Lego Ninjago.
That every year, that's going to be number one best ride. We rode it in 2022. We rode it again in 2023. But it was kind of this stage where it's like, there's nothing that jumped out to me as like, I would drop everything tomorrow to go and ride it again, which I think last year, oh no, Rise of Resistance wasn't because I rode in the year before, but you know, like Rise of Resistance, Indiana Jones Adventure, those are rides I would be like, ride on the plane if I had the chance. Where everything we did this last year, I was like, yeah, that was fun. So almost by default, because of what it managed to be, I got to say my best ride of the year was Invasion of the Planet of the Apes at Genting Skyworld. Just because we haven't, I don't know, Transformers, I don't care for, but Spider-Man is one of my favorite rides in the world. And this is kind of a smaller scale parks version of Spider-Man. And I almost just have to give it to them, give them respect, because it's the smallest park I've ever seen that has attempted the largest ride.
Oh, yeah.
And sure, it didn't hit every point that it should have, but I give them props. I give them respect for trying, because this was a trackless, integrated ride, dark ride that had really impressive sets, a really nice queue. So I'm going to give it to them.
The interesting thing for me is that when it comes to Genting Skyworld, I kind of hold it into a higher regard than I think it deserves. And not in a bad way, but it's like I hold it on the same level as I do Universal or Disney. And that's just flat out not fair.
Yeah.
Because it's being operated by a company that has nowhere near the same experience and has nowhere near the same history. So to compare it, it's kind of apples and oranges.
They're never going to be quite, you know, that same level.
And I feel the first time I did this attraction, I was pretty unfair on it because it has some problems where, like, the screens are a bit misaligned. The 3D is not the best. The ride system's a little bit slow and forceless, but at the same time, when you actually think about it, everything that they're doing is insanely impressive for a park that's not Universal or Disney. It's kind of in that same territory as what you see from some of the big players in the European scene. And to be on that same level, I think, is impressive for a park in the middle of the mountains in Malaysia.
Yeah, exactly. Imagine if a ride like that opened in an Australian theme park.
Yeah.
It would be, you know, the best of the best.
It'd blow minds.
Yeah. So I think, you know, I gave it to them as a little pat on the back from a retime look.
Yeah.
What about you? What was your top of the year?
Mine might be at the same park.
Oh.
But mine's a little bit contentious because it's a bit of a basic attraction.
Oh, I just really enjoy it. Epic Voyage to Moonhaven. Yeah.
Oh, yes, let's go. No, I think the highlight of the year, like the ride that I would happily go back and ride again, was Terraform Challenge at Genting Skyworld.
Yeah, the tower. So this was actually going to be mine as well. But the one thing that made me just pip Planet of the Apes was the loss of the IP. And it kind of makes me sad when we've seen stuff like what it should have been. We've seen pictures, we've seen concept art, we've seen the animatronic alien that would have been down there. So that kind of made me sad almost. But I can understand why, because it's a what you think is a, you know, run-of-the-mill ride that you see in almost every theme park, but they managed to elevate it in a way that makes you appreciate it that much more.
Yeah. Absolutely. Like the theming, the experience, the queue, it just really adds to something that's different for an attraction of this caliber. For those that don't know, it's a space shot. I think it's SNS.
Yeah. The shock so an and SNS drop space version. So it shoots you up and shoots you back down.
Yeah. So you get to do a couple of different things in it. Like the first start is the floor falls out from beneath you, like where you were queuing, and then it goes down into the ground, launches you back up. And that's the point where Luke was saying, like, it's missing an element there, because that's very clearly where the alien was meant to be. And from what we've heard, it was meant to essentially like peer around the corner and then lunge towards the vehicle, and that would get you out of there. Likewise, you'll bounce for a little bit, go up the top, and then drop. But by the time you get back down to the bottom, the station has rebuilt itself so that you're then back on flat land and you're good to go. I really enjoyed it. There was just something about it that was fun and interesting and different.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like much, but I've never experienced anything like it before. There may be something like it elsewhere in the world. But starting on a floor, having watched everyone else get shot to the sky, your logical process is, well, I'm going up. I know I'm going up. But then to have the floor fall from where, you know, the floor you're just standing on fall out from under you, and then you start to go down, it gives you that moment of, oh, wow, and, oh, this is actually higher than it feels because I'm going underground right now.
Yeah. It's just a very cool ride. It's one of those ones that I didn't think would have as much of an impact, and I think that's what helps. Like, when I go into a dark ride, you kind of have that expectation of, like, if you've ridden Galaxy's Edge, Rise of the Resistance, you are comparing every single dark ride to Rise of the Resistance. But there's nothing really that tops the experience of Terraform Challenge, except for maybe that one at, is it Alton Towers, which is completely indoors?
Yeah, and it's similar. It, like, drops you to the, it's like a story. They kind of use it as mostly like a story. It's a very short drop tower, but Subterra?
Yeah.
Something like that.
And there's another one at a park where it's like in a tower and it's completely enclosed.
Yeah, that's at like Efteling or one of those like European parks with a fancy name.
Yeah. Efteling or Europa Park.
It's because it has scream restrictions. It's not Europa. I think is it the one that has
Fantasia
Land?
Yeah, I was going to say. It's not Fantasia. Now I feel like I need to Google it. Enclosed Space Shot.
Remember that one of the like Minecraft parks we used to visit had a recreation of it?
Yes. Yeah, it did.
Yeah,
I can't find it. It's out there. Hit us up. Tell us what it is.
Correct us. We have a lot of European and UK-based listeners, so I'm sure they know more than we do, which I've never made it out that part of the world.
I'm sure they're screaming at their screen at the moment.
Which I do the same when someone else is like, what's this? What's this? And I'm listening to a podcast and I'm like, you don't know. It's so obvious.
It's that scene in Interstellar where you're like behind the bookshelf and it's like, Murph! Murph, don't let him leave! Murph! You can't do anything. No.
You're just stuck there watching them suffer. So help us out.
Worse when like people are confident on something that they don't know. Like they'll just say, oh yeah, it's at that park. Yeah.
And it's just like wrong.
It's not actually. It's like, you're no,
please.
But Luke, that brings us around now to what was the worst ride that you did?
Now, as you said, maybe I have to break the rules here. Now, I'm going to give a dishonorable mention, though, to Epic Voyage to Moonhaven. I hate getting wet in rides. We've talked about it. It made me too wet. The second day when we had to go back and do it again, I was not looking forward to it at all. I don't like getting miserably wet in a theme park. That gets an honorary mention. Dishonorable mention, I guess. But this one, I don't even care that it's not a ride. But the worst ride... we didn't have a worst not ride, so this gets it. It's that stupid bridge at Sunway Lagoon. I hated it. I hated it. I hated it.
Very fair. Very valid. You hated this.
I can't explain the visceral fear that overtook my body where I was like, this is it. This is the end. I'm going to die on a stupid suspension bridge in a stupid park where I'm not having any fun.
I think it almost made it better for me, the fact that you were having such an awful time. And I feel bad to say that, but it was like you were just shutting down.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh no, poor dude. But like it was also insanely funny at the same time.
Because it's not like a ride. Like if you're scared on a ride, oh well. The ride's still going to go. You're just strapped in for the experience. But if you're scared on a bridge when you get halfway, well, guess what? You still got half to go or you're stuck here for the rest of the time.
You just got to keep on going.
Keep on keeping on. But I don't need to talk about that anymore. It was rubbish. I hated it. I'm never going to do it again. I'm never going back to Sunway Lagoon, but I'm never going to do that again, even if I did.
For me, mine was also in the same park.
Oh, good.
I had a dishonorable mention, which was for the river rapids at Sunway Lagoon.
Oh, that felt sketchy as well, yeah.
Nothing instills me with confidence like a green river rapids. I'm not sure how it got that color. I don't want to know, particularly.
Mm.
The other thing as well is it just didn't seem particularly up to par. You know when you just get that vibe about something?
Yeah.
I got that vibe.
Yeah,
but
fair.
That wasn't the attraction. The attraction that I think was the worst thing that I experienced, and we talk about it in pretty lengthy details in one of our other podcasts, but it was Scream Park at Sunway Lagoon.
I love
your
how both of
says
our,
it all.
Both of our worst rides have been walking-based experiences at Sunway Lagoon. That's how they transcended the definition of ride.
They just love that walk-in. For those that don't know, Scream Park is essentially like a collection of different horror-based attractions. It's a permanent kind of Halloween haunt night maze thing.
But it's one attraction that has like three attractions within it. You can't do them separately. You have to do them all at once for some reason.
Yeah, so you go into this building and at first they give you an introduction. They're like, you have to hold the person in front of you. You've got to make sure that you don't leave the group. And then somebody jumps out with a chainsaw and they're like, rah! And then they run away. So that really gives you an idea of what you're in for.
Yeah.
You then go from that to walking down a staircase and a solid 5 minutes of nothing happening until you get right down to the bottom of this, where you watch a movie where, for no context, it's just like this really ugly little girl, and not ugly in the sense that like, she's so hideous. It's like she's got weird, grotesque makeup on. She's like walking through a cave. But then mirroring this in real life, is the same thing happening but around you? And so, like, you'll see on the screen, there'll be, like, a shadowy figure of the girl. And then, oh, no, she's walking down the hallway in this theater.
She's not doing anything.
She doesn't do anything.
She's just walking.
She just, like, walks down. Likewise, she'll, like, hold up a lantern in the movie and then she'll appear at, like, one of the windows.
Oh, and then you gave me a heart attack just remembering this terrifying experience.
Then people in morph suits run over to like the doors and start rattling them, and they like jump out and they're like, "Ooh!" And it's just
bad.
Such a low bar for like horror. And I was just completely taken out of it because I thought it was hilarious. You then go through, I think they called it something like Scary Wood or something like that. It was
horror
meant to be Hollywood.
Wood.
Yeah,
Horrorwood Studios. Yeah.
And it's basically going through a bunch of different movies, but like nondescript movies so that they don't have to pay for IP. And they're essentially like The Walking Dead and all of that. And you go through this. The only time I ever got scared was there was one section where there's like a zombie in a cage and then the group keeps moving. And I turned around. That zombie was just like slowly walking towards
hey man,
our
what's
group
that?
At the back. And other than that, it was just very mediocre scares, and
yeah,
the movie just
feel
took
as
me
well,
out of it.
Because we had done Halloween Horror Nights in Singapore a couple of days earlier, and then went to this, and we were contemplating doing the Sunway Lagoon Halloween event, but experiencing this made us like, nah, let's just go home and sleep instead.
I heard it was decent, but it's hard to compare because I don't know how many people would actually do both simultaneously. Yeah. So it is that thing where, unfortunately, comparison makes it harder.
Yeah.
But that was my worst thing.
But yeah, let's move on to a big one. The big one, which I wouldn't be surprised if we double overlap again, but the best and worst theme park that we visited this year. What was
Ooh.
Your best theme park?
Now, this one might be contentious because we've spoken about this a couple of times and I feel like we may have been on the same page, but I thought about it a little bit more And I decided that my best park of this year was Universal Studios Singapore and not Genting Skyworlds. Genting Skyworlds was very close, but the difference for me was the fact that we could spend a whole day at Universal Studios Singapore, pretty much just with Halloween Horror Nights, and as well as like the integration of IPs and all of that. I don't think it was the best Universal Studios park. It does have that problem where when you're there, you're constantly thinking like, man, I wish I was at a better Universal Studios park.
Yeah, I wish it had blah, blah, and blah.
Yeah. But at the same time, it hit all of those marks where it was like it was still a good Universal experience. Halloween Horror Nights was fantastic. It did it for me. It was just a nice, chill park. And yeah, I don't really know much
on that. It didn't win for mine. And I think some of that does come down to the fact that through no fault of its own, just by the fact of the park that it is arguably the worst Universal park that I've been to. Doesn't make it a bad park, but it did, as you were saying, leave me wanting that little bit more. You know, it was cool to see a Rapids version of Jurassic Park, but it wasn't as good as the other versions of Jurassic Park. And then there was a few, you know, similar sort of things around for me. But I did really enjoy it. And it's, you know, a tough place to be like, well, that park's not as good because I've been lucky enough to go to almost every Universal park around the world. But if it's the only Universal park you've ever been to, it's amazing. Don't get me wrong.
Absolutely.
But that does leave me with my best, which unsurprisingly then, the way we've been talking, was Genting Skyworld. And I think a lot of that does...
I knew it!
does come down to the surprise of how good it was. I wasn't expecting a park that was a pain to get to in the middle of literally nowhere that no longer has big IP name drawing people in behind it. Just how good that park would be. Could it have been better? Yes, there's two unopened attractions that would make it much clearly the best park in Southeast Asia, I would say. But the surprise behind it left me, you know, leaving it up there, putting it up there as the number one.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, we can very quickly, because we've spoken about these parks fairly extensively in other podcasts, so there's not too much more that we can say about them. But I will say, I think we can both, on the count of three, say what our worst park was and then move along. So on the count of three, do we want to say what our worst the year was? Okay, one, two, three.
Sunway Lagoon. And that's all we need to say about that. It's already been in the worst two categories, so it should be no surprise. Go listen to, we talked about it for half an episode a few episodes back about just why it was such a miserable day. It wasn't for us. We know that. We appreciate that. But the fact that we had more fun at Legoland Malaysia, two grown 30-year-old men had more fun at Legoland than they did at Sunway Lagoon really says it all.
We're big theme park people and we want to travel the world to visit theme parks. And the fact that we got halfway through that day and was like, let's cut it here. It's essentially like it's like a movie reviewer leaving midway through a movie, like going, I know what to expect from the rest of this.
The intermission of a musical, essentially. Yeah. Like, I don't need to see the end of this story. I know how it ends. That's our version.
I'm sated, pretty much.
Yeah.
But that moves us on to things that we want to experience.
Yeah. It's
and this will be an interesting one.
It was a relatively exciting year for theme parks, I would say. I would maybe say last year there was slightly more happening in the world just because. But we're still kind of catching up from what happened after COVID. Some of the big stuff that happened, Tron opened at the Magic Kingdom.
Boy.
The Epcot hub opened. Some exciting stuff. But... for me, I will give a quick honorary mention. Actually, I won't in case you say it. But for me, the thing I want to experience most is Zootopia at Shanghai Disneyland, which kind of works in with the fact I want to experience Shanghai Disneyland a lot as it is, and this just kind of accelerates that by giving it another unique experience. Does it look like the best ride in the world? No, not necessarily, but the entire package, it's making that an even more well-rounded park in my eyes, which is pushing it to the top of parks I'd like to visit. The ride looks fun. It looks like another fun trackless dark ride along the lines of Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway. The land looks really cool and big and impressive, even though it does only have that one attraction. So I think that was my thing that opened where I'm like, oh, I really want to go there.
Yeah, Shanghai Disneyland is really, it's up there on the parks that I want to visit. And I'm hoping that we can get there soon. We do have some Asia trips planned for next year, so fingers crossed that can happen.
Yeah.
It just comes down to those pesky surveillance laws, which if you get caught filming things YouTubers and they don't like it. Yeah, there have been some cases of YouTubers where it's like, off to jail with ye.
Yeah, I don't particularly want to end up in Chinese jail.
No, that's actually weird you say that. Number one thing on my thing of things I want to experience, Chinese jail.
Oh, we can do both of ours at the same time.
Oh, no, I'm just ruining our chances now of ever getting over to Shanghai. So I have two. My runner-up for this is Epcot. I know that sounds weird, but
you
just
want to go
like
see
the
broken lights 3 days after it opened.
I don't have a runner-up anymore. So my top thing, and this comes back to my connection with Hong Kong Disneyland. I really want to experience Frozen.
Oh, this was my honorary mention. So lucky I didn't. Lucky we had that little bit of suspense for the couple of minutes, because this was my honorary mention as well.
Ah, true. Yeah, this is one of those additions that I think really defines the park. Hong Kong Disneyland for so long has been desperate for some more personality, and it's slowly been getting it over the years, like especially when it got its additions such as Grizzly Gulch and Mystic that really put it on the map, but it was still very similar to Universal Studios in Singapore, where you went to Hong Kong and it was like, these attractions and uniqueness is nice, but I kind of just want to go to a better Disney park.
It felt like the baby, and I feel the big gain for Frozen is there was like two rides in Fantasyland before. So this kind of just feels like making it the Fantasyland it should have opened with.
Yeah. This is the equivalent of the new Fantasyland expansion of Hong Kong Disneyland, and it needed it desperately. Yeah. So I really just want to get over there and experience it and see it. Like that lake vista with the mountain and the castle.
The mountain, the fake mountain blends into the real mountain. Like, I didn't, Frozen Ever After at Epcot's a fun ride, and I wasn't that interested or excited, though, for it to come to Hong Kong. But then when I started to see them build it and the scale that it was built on, I don't really care for Frozen. I don't really care that much for Frozen Ever After, but I really want to check out Frozen Land at Hong Kong Disneyland.
Ah, yeah. It just looks like something completely different to what they've done. And again, sorry, US parks, that once again, the Asian parks have gotten something unique and different and seemingly better. And I know you will always say in the US parks, oh, but we got Galaxy's Edge. Yeah, you got it so hard that it's at both of your resorts. There's nothing unique about it when I can hop between different sides of the continent and be like, I
almost
can experience.
Not know which version. I could put you on a plane, right? Blindfold you, put you on a plane around the US, land at either LA or Orlando, put you in the middle of Galaxy's Edge, and you wouldn't be able to tell which one you're in. I guarantee you. Which is
weird. Do you think as well, in this sense, imagine if Disney sat down recently and they're like, oh man, we've built up Star Wars, but we kind of want to get rid of it. We just want to give it to a different studio. Try to be difficult with the fact that they've integrated it in with their theme parks. Like, yeah. I doubt that they're ever going to get rid of Star Wars. They would rather burn it to the ground than let somebody else have it. Because it's not about the movies or anything like that. It's about the merchandise.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I feel they maybe in our lifetime we'll see it re-themed. Because, I mean, I don't know. Disneyland in our lifetime has pretty much seen every attraction from opening day reworked or re-themed other than the... you know, Fantasyland dark rides.
Except for Star Wars and Indiana Jones.
Huh? No, oh, I mean from opening day, sorry.
Oh, yeah. No. Star 2 has opened up with...
before the movie, that was very progressive. They opened 20 years before the first film.
People Luke, like, Walt had a vision.
He's a smart man. He was a smart man.
But it was out the back of Monsanto's hall of chemicals or whatever it was.
He was huffing all the chemicals from Monsanto. He's like, in the future, there'll be cowboys and Indians in space.
Yes, sure, Uncle Walt.
Sure.
And I'm going to build a house out of plastic.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And when they go to knock it down, they won't be able to. Okay, Uncle Walt, back to the firehouse with you.
Go up to your bed, time for a nap.
And let your kids menace the people on the Jungle Cruise
for a little bit longer. But the best, I feel that's a smart, wise choice from both of us. But I think my thing I want to experience the least may be contentious.
Yeah. Here.
It may be contentious. And maybe
we meant to write that.
Oh, yeah. Well, while I talk about mine, think about this.
I was thinking about that in the sense of like, why would I list here something that I don't want to experience?
Well, because it's a hot take possible. Because mine, the thing I want to experience least that opened this year is Super Nintendo World at Universal Studios Hollywood.
Ah.
Because it just looks like a worse version of what's already in Japan and what's going to be in Orlando.
Yeah, but hot take, isn't that most things that come to US parks?
Yeah. Well, like, at least
let's
the
be real.
Epic Universe one is the big version that will be open in Japan before it's open at Epic Universe, but at least it's not the minus version that they got at Hollywood, yeah, where it's just one ride.
And when they were making it, and they were like, nah, man, no Nintendo here. Mm-mm-mm-mm. Nah, no Fast and Furious coaster here. Nah, man.
None of that. I don't know. Universal, the reason you go to Hollywood, and I know they're trying to change it, but the reason I go to Hollywood is for the studio tour and, you know, that sort of stuff. But they're getting rid of all the stuff that makes it special, the behind the scenes, the special effects type stuff. And to me, that doesn't move the needle at all for me wanting to go back to Universal Studios Hollywood, because I know, and I'm lucky enough to going to Japan next year to experience the original version, and we're really hoping to get to the opening of Epic Universe. So that does almost nothing for me.
Yeah.
But were you able to think of a least?
Yes.
Oh, good, good.
The thing I want to experience the least is probably Villain Con Blast or whatever.
Yeah, Despicable Me Minion Blast, Villain Con's Minion. It has like a very wordy name, I think.
Yeah, a classic, we are doing this to please the search engine optimization name. I don't know. I've seen things of this and it looks temporary. Like the entire attraction looks like it's something that would be a pop-up in like a Sydney shopping center, where it's like, it's outstanding if it wasn't in a theme park. But the fact that it is in a theme park, it's like, there's so much more you can do. I don't understand the appeal of standing up and shooting at things when there's so much more you can do with that concept.
Yeah, it does feel like a proof of concept that somehow made it into the park. And the fact that nobody is talking about it. Nobody's talking about it like a couple of months after it debuted says it all, really.
Yeah. it fell off the map so quickly once it opened. And like, I think the thing that has kind of inserted itself more in theme park culture is the Minions potato tot things. That
more
you can
people
get.
Talk about the food than the attraction that the food is meant to be tied into.
And in fairness, I think that's mostly thanks to Alicia Stella.
Yeah.
I constantly see Alicia Stella eating
posting
at
about
that
the
restaurant.
Tots, the Minion tots, which, oh, good news, everyone. The rumor is this is coming to Universal Studios Japan and replacing Backdraft.
Wait, Villain Con?
Yep.
How in an audio format do I simulate me getting up from my chair and walking away?
Sound effects of a footsteps door opening.
Dum, 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 dum.
Well, Dom's gone forever, and it was for good reason, and I respect him for that, because I don't know, there's a rumor, we don't like to speak rumors as if they're fact, but just look at the rides that have closed, look at their locations, and we know Universal likes to split development costs, and Minions are huge in Japan.
Minions are huge in Asia. I'm back, by the way. I snuck in.
You made big footsteps on the way out and just, you know, sneaky footsteps on the way back in.
I feel like Minions is one of the most successful Western animation franchises to kind of breach the world. We were talking about this when we were at Universal Studios Singapore, like how on their main street, the entire left-hand side, oh no, the entire right-hand side is dedicated to Minions as you're walking in. And
even though the
land's
not open yet.
Yeah. And there's an equivalent size shop, and that services the rest of the park.
Mm-hmm.
So that really puts into perspective how much demand there is for Minions, which is wild to me.
Yeah. And that's fair from both of us. But that leads us to the big one. The award everybody wants to win, or doesn't want to win, depending which one it is, because it is time for the best of 2023 and the worst of 2023. Ooh. I believe it's your turn to start first. What was the best thing you did, the best thing you experienced, the best of 2023?
Now, this is a little, ooh, I gotcha. I did a gotcha.
You're going to get me.
The best park for me was Universal Studios Singapore. But the best thing I experienced of 2023 was Genting Skyworld.
You little cheeky chicken.
My reasoning being is it's like, yes, Universal Studios Singapore for me was objectively a better park because of the offerings that are provided at night with Halloween Horror Nights. But in terms of like when I went there and experienced it and was like, oh, gee, look at this. This is phenomenal. The only time I ever actually got even like a little bit of emotion in our Singapore and Malaysia trip was in Genting Skyworlds. And it was walking into the park. We beelined straight into the what was previously known as the Aliens vs. Predator area, basically the Tomorrowland of Genting Skyworlds. And it was playing the music from Interstellar, and something about that, like walking into this beautifully themed area in a new location and just actually thematically appropriate music, like
an
just
actual theme park
thing. Yeah, like not just having blaring pop music play as you walk in, like it felt different and it felt special. It was really cool. I really adored Genting Skyworlds. I really hope that they do good things with it moving forward. And they have shown that they're dedicated to the park, especially with things like Planet of the Apes, which only opened up recently.
Yeah.
I really hope that they can manage to sustain that and they don't fall down the route of, oh, well, it's not popular, so let's just throw in crap and call it a day. Like,
and it will get worse and worse. And it's a shame that it is pretty much in the middle of nowhere for us and we won't get back there. I would say it's probably the best theme park I've been to that I likely will never get back to in my life.
100%.
Because
But what was... My what best? Was yours?
We've kind of done a little switchy switcheroo because my best, because thinking it couldn't be a park, I actually gave it to Halloween Horror Nights in Singapore.
Oh!
Switchy LaRue's.
I didn't even think of that. I could have done that. But
because I loved my time in Universal Studios Orlando back in 2022. And a lot of people say, and a lot of people, I agree with them, Singapore's version is the kind of more intense version. If you do like the scares, if you do like it, they do kind of the plus one. They don't do the silly little conga line thing where you only get one or two scares throughout the whole house. They group you up into small groups. Half of the group will probably run ahead of you anyway. So you're just left with, you know, whoever you're there with. And you get pretty much every single scare. The quality of the sets and stuff, sure, it's not as big as Orlando, but they only do this event for like 12 nights. And for the amount of nights they do it to how impressive it is, I would say ratio-wise, it's probably better than Orlando in that regard. It was just a lot of fun. The wait would have been hell. Luckily, it may not have been up here if we had to wait in the regular queues. Thankfully, they invited us out, which just elevated it even further. But that was something I was going in with the whole, it won't be as good as Orlando. But now it's up there as my best thing of 2022, which leaves us with the one you don't want to win. The one that people will be crying at, whoever it is, whoever wins this, the people there in the office will be crying when they hear it. What was your worst of 2022?
I've kind of already, I don't know, this is a tough one, but I think the worst thing of 2023...
The bridge. Congratulations.
No, it was the experience of them testing out the audio system at Sunway Lagoon for Timmy Trumpet or whatever his name was, as they prepared for their nighttime event. That whole thing just made me feel like I shouldn't be in that park. Like, the whole experience
the shouldn't have been opened at that stage.
No.
Because it was miserable to be in.
It just wasn't pleasant. So, that's kind of my stance on that. I think, again, it comes down to just Sunway Lagoon. I'm sorry, Sunway Lagoon. It just... You got to do better.
A lot of people have been there and have enjoyed it, but it just did not click with us in the right way. And I feel, as you were saying, the fact that they were setting up for a loud concert all day so that all we heard was 1, 2, 3, 4, just counting through the entire park speaker system through the day, screaming loud music. It was just not the... You know, the place we wanted to be at the time. It was hot. It was miserable. Sensory overload express. So that makes sense.
It was hot and the park was not.
Got him. But you're wrong. That's not the worst of 2023.
Oh, good.
The worst of 2023 isn't even in Malaysia. I don't even care. Because worst of 2023 doesn't even have to be something I experienced this year because it's actually something that no one can experience anymore. There's only one answer. The worst thing of 2023 is the permanent closure of Poseidon's Fury.
Oh, yeah. That's fair. That's valid. I take back everything
I've
said.
The only thing worse than Sunway Lagoon.
And funnel all of my energy into the fact that we can no longer experience Poseidon's Fury.
You got lucky that you got to experience it. There was a stage where I thought you wouldn't just with every... I thought it would never reopen after COVID.
Yeah. The fact that it did is a miracle and that they kind of gave it a send-off is very nice of them because they could have just gone, nah, it's never reopening.
It's expensive. So keep it closed. But the fact that it's closed forever, maybe not just the worst of 2023, it might be the worst theme park thing this decade. So when we come in 2030s, theme park cast awards for the decade, Universal, we're not going to be very pleased with you. But I think...
Yeah.
We've talked plenty about Poseidon's Fury. You're probably all Poseidon's Furied out after last episode, so we don't need to talk about it too much here. But that will do it. The theme park cast awards of 2023
Mm.
Congratulations to the winners. Commiserations to the losers. But it's been a fun year. We didn't get to a ton of new parks, nowhere near as many as we did in 2022. But we got to some of our parks that have made their way. I would say Universal and Genting, just those two, were probably better than all the parks we did on our US road trip, at least for being a theme park.
And a lot of these parks as well have kind of carved their own way in the industry to be something different.
And they embrace that and, you know, make the most of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you would like to, you know, hear some more, because this isn't at the end of us talking about the 2023 that was on Parks After Dark. Next week, the last episode of the year, we'll be doing the great 2023 theme park roast. We're going to be talking about all the worst stuff that happened in theme parks, whether we experienced it or not, because it was a year. It was a year. There's plenty of stuff have happened with Disney, with Universal. So make sure to check that out on our Patreon, patreon.com/reviewtime. But for the year, thanks for listening. It has been another great year. As we were saying, we're going to take a few weeks off to rest, to recover, to recuperate, because it's summer here in Australia and it is ungodly hot in my studio right now. I don't want to record in here when it's going to get even hotter in a month's time.
It's kind of that thing where if it seems like we're trying to wrap this up, it's because we are, because it's hot.
Yeah, I'm about to go have a shower, a cold shower, as soon as this is over. But if you want to get in touch with us and tell us that we missed something, that there was something better, there was something worse, let us know. You can get in touch with me via email. I'm Luke@reviewtime.com.
I'm Dom@reviewtime.com.
You can get us both at hello@reviewtime.com or @reviewtime on any of the socials. Genuinely, we enjoy it when you let us know. Tell us what that indoor towel was. I'm still wondering. You know, I can't sleep until you let me know. So please let me know.
Please.
Happy holidays wherever you celebrate. We hope you have a great one. And we look forward to being back fresh next year in 2024 with another episode of Review Time's Theme Podcast. We'll see you then. Bye.
Bye.